Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
All the many incredible things that are happening in the life of church tonight, at this final service of the day, we have Pastor Leila Nahavandi is going to take the stage. I'm going to introduce her in just a second. Pastor Leila preached at our Nations Youth Summer Camp. And I was there on Friday night just to witness firsthand what God is doing in our youth ministry. And I have to say to you that we are incredibly privileged as a church that in the history of our last 15, soon to be 16 years, we have never not had a strong, hungry for God youth ministry. And you need to know that is not common. And I think we just need to honor all our youth leaders and our volunteers that serve on a Friday night across all our campuses, ensuring that the next generation get to taste revival and carry it in their heart. Amen. And, you know, all of the people that serve our next generation, our children, our youth, you ought to thank them because they do a lot of unseen work. And young people don't stay young people forever. They all grow up to become leaders in the house of God, mums and dads of the house. And so we so appreciate them. And this Nations Youth Summer Camp, I have already heard people say it's the best one yet. And what God did, and I can witness that firsthand, even in my own son, that the Lord has just really touched his life. And so tonight, let's stand to our feet as we honor to the pulpit Pastor Leila Nahavandi from Life Point Church as she comes. Hey, mate. How are you? How you doing?
Good, good. Thank you, Pastor Ken.
What did you love about Nations Youth Summer Camp?
Oh, I loved everything. But as I said, I've been saying all day at the Belmont campus and to Pastor Ken and Pastor Chrissy. In my role, I get to travel around the world and preach to different camps and youth conferences all over the place. And I honestly have never come across a bunch of young people who are so hungry and so passionate for the power
Praise
and
God.
The presence of God anywhere that I've been. And I just really feel like God is stirring up revival in the youth ministry to see God touch Perth in an incredible way.
So good. Would you give Pastor Leila another big
hand
as she takes the stage? Go for it.
That's awesome. Thank you, Church Nations. You can go ahead and take your seats. It is such an incredible honor to be with you here tonight, and I just wanted to take one moment to honor your senior pastors, Pastors Ken and Chrissy Lee. I love these guys so much, and I couldn't work out what I was more excited about tonight, whether I was more excited to preach or to hear Pastor Ken lead us in worship tonight. So that was just incredible. And I love these guys so much. We've had them over with us at Life Point, and they are true favorites at Life Point. And you know, Paul writes in the epistles, he says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. And these really are two leaders that every time I come into contact with them, every time I see them, I really pray in my heart, God, let me imitate them. Let me be more like them because they are so much like Christ. And so you are so blessed here at Nations Church to have this incredible couple and family leading the church, and it is an honor to be with you. I have had a great time with your youth on youth camp. Can we give it up for all the young people, for the youth pastors? They are just doing something awesome, and God's doing something special in this place. But if we haven't met before, my name's Leila Nahavandi. I'm a pastor on the team at Life Point Church in Adelaide in South Australia, under the leadership of Pastors David and Donna Hall. I don't know if you've met them. So they're awesome, and it's a great privilege to be on the team there. I've been on the team for 12 years and have been the youth pastor, and I'm now running our college and traveling in ministry. I'm also single and ready to mingle. All right? Yes. So tell your friends. You can help me out by telling your friends, and just help the Lord do a good work in my life. But that's all we need to say about that. So we're going to get into the Word of God tonight. I want to share a word with you tonight called When God Opens a Closed Conversation. When God opens a closed conversation. We're going to read from Ezekiel chapter 37 and verse 1. Ezekiel chapter 37 and verse 1. It says, "The Lord took hold of me, and I was carried away by the Spirit of the Lord to a valley filled with bones. He led me all around among the bones that covered the valley floor. They were scattered everywhere across the ground and were completely dried out. Then he asked me, 'Son of God, can these bones become living people again?' 'O sovereign Lord,' I replied, 'you alone know the answer to that.' Then he said to me, 'Speak a prophetic message to these bones and say, dry bones, listen to the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Look, I am going to put breath into you and make you live again. I will put flesh and muscles on you and cover you with skin, and I will put breath into you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord.'" And if we jump to Ezekiel chapter 37 and verse 10, it says this, "So I spoke the message as he commanded me, and breath came into their bodies. They all came to life and stood up on their feet again, a great army. Then he said to me, 'Son of man, these bones represent the people of Israel. They are saying, we have become old dry bones. All hope is gone. Our nation is finished. Therefore, prophesy.'" Therefore, prophesy. We're going to jump quickly to Genesis chapter 12 and verse 2. It says, "And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Nations Church, can we bow our heads and pray over the word tonight? Sorry, I don't even know what time zone I'm in here over in Perth. Father God, we just thank you for this incredible church. We thank you for what you're doing here at Nations Church, in this campus, in the campuses across the world. God, we thank you for your word tonight. I know that my words and my opinions can't change much, but your words spoken into an atmosphere of faith can shift things, can change things in just one moment of time. So God, we ask that your word would be deposited in every heart, in every life, in every spirit tonight, that you would stir something up on the inside of us to believe for the greater things that you have ahead for us. And we give you all the praise and we give you all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody said, amen, amen, amen. Why don't you turn to the person next to you and say, "Hey, you are the best looking person in the Myrie campus tonight. You are the most attractive, best looking person." Some people are, amen, preach, sister. She knows what's right. Awesome. When God opens a closed conversation, I don't know if anyone's still on Facebook. I don't know if that's something that people in Perth do. In Adelaide, we're sort of still on Facebook, but we're always 10 years behind everyone else. So I don't know if you've moved on to something else. But not a lot of people are still on Facebook. I think the general consensus is that Facebook is probably like the big W of social media, right? You only go and check it if you absolutely have to. Like, if you don't have to, you're not going anywhere near it. And so on Facebook, you can have a conversation with a number of people via private message. If you're not familiar with Facebook, it's like this email feature where you can chat to a whole bunch of people at the same time. And often, you know, people are adding you into conversations. Maybe it's, you know, Bishop such and such from Pakistan, and they add you into a conversation. You've never met Bishop such and such from Pakistan, but you're in a conversation with him and 30 other people from the rest of the world, and you're having this conversation. And you can actually choose, if you would like to leave the conversation, right? I never do that because I think it's rude and unkind. So if you add me to a conversation, I'll be part of it for life. But you can choose. It's very unfortunate. That's why I never go on Facebook. But you can choose to leave the conversation. You can choose to leave the conversation, and everyone around you gets notified that Pastor Chrissy Lee has left the conversation, right? She didn't want to be here anymore. She didn't want to participate in the conversation anymore. And so the children of Israel, they had this promise that God had given them about their future, that God would bless them and he would make them a great nation, and that through them all the nations of the earth would be blessed. This was the conversation that was over their future. This was the conversation that was circulating about who they were called to be, about the promise that God had for their life. And all of a sudden, sort of throughout history, something sort of went down. And by the time Ezekiel showed up on the scene, he was actually carried off into exile by King Nebuchadnezzar. His whole people group were taken off into captivity. And for year after year after year, excuse me, the children of Israel ended up in this refugee camp. And so they were in this camp, and they felt like God had really left the conversation about their future. They felt like when it came to the promise that God had for them, they were living so far away from the promise that God had spoken over them. They felt like the promises of God were a conversation that they were a part of, but God was no longer part of this conversation. And so the Bible tells us that the children of Israel, they had this saying that they used to characterize their situation. And this saying that they would use, that they would quote day after day, year after year, was, "We are old, dry bones. Our nation is finished. Our hope has been cut off. We are old, dry bones. Our nation is finished and our hope has been cut off." Instead of speaking life and instead of speaking the promises of God and instead of speaking in faith, their situation was reduced to this conversation that was characterized by a statement that was dead. Our hope is finished. We have been cut off. We are old, dry bones. We are old, dry bones. I don't know if there's any situation in your life where God has given you a promise. Is that the Lord calling? It's like, he really needs to talk to you. He does, it's true. He's trying to get through. Anyway, you know, you can pull the Samuel, like, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." We'll all listen into your conversation. But anyway, you can tell I'm probably a little bit like my pastor, get very distracted easily. So Ezekiel is in this place where his nation has something that they speak over themselves, that they've spoken. There's this conversation that's surrounding their nation. It's this conversation, this closed conversation. I don't know if you've got a conversation that you've been having or that's been spoken over your life, over your health, over your finances, over your school, over your city, or maybe a nation that God's called you to. There's something that characterizes that situation, and it's almost a lifeless statement. It's almost a hopeless statement. It's something that is dead words. It's something that has come over time. It's something that has come over years of disappointment and discouragement, and you haven't seen the promise of God fulfilled. And so after years and years and years, that situation has been reduced to a statement, something like, "That's just the way it is in Perth," or, "That's just the way that that person is. That's just the way that my family is. They'll never be saved," or, "That's just the way that my school is. My friends are never going to find Jesus. That's just the way that it is." God shows up in Ezekiel's life and he says, "Ezekiel, you see what the children of Israel are saying about these dry bones. You see the conversation that they're having about these dry bones. You see that they're speaking dead words over this situation. But I want to open this closed conversation. I want to speak a word prophetically into this situation and turn it around." God opened a closed conversation through Ezekiel. And Nations Church, I believe that God is calling every single one of us as Christians to open closed conversations in the circumstances and the situations that we are in the community that God has put us in the nations that God is sending you into, to open closed conversations over the nations, to open closed conversations. There are many people throughout history who have opened closed conversations in the natural. Steve Jobs was one of them. He opened a closed conversation on personal computers in 1976. He founded Apple Computers in the garage of his parents' home. And the closed conversations that he opened were conversations where people said, "Hey, computers will never be portable enough. They're too big for people to use. Also, if you use a computer, it's going to be too challenging and too intellectual. People are not going to be smart enough to use the computer." And even if they were smart enough and they could sit down and use it in the corner of their house where they would need to set it up because it's so huge, still it would be too expensive for the average person to use. Now, just in the year 2016, Apple Computers turned over a $53 billion profit. And how many know that even our 2 and 3 year olds are able to use our iPads better than probably we can? He opened a closed conversation in the natural. Walt Disney opened a closed conversation. Any Disney fans in the house tonight? Walt Disney opened a closed conversation in 1953. He bought hundreds of acres of land south of LA to build a theme park. And people said to him, the closed conversations that surrounded this were that, hey, people will never travel so far south of LA just to visit a theme park. How many know that people travel from the other side of the world to visit Disneyland? And in 2018, the financial year, Walt Disney Parks and Resorts had an operating profit of $4.5 billion. Walt Disney opened a closed conversation in the natural. The Bible is full of God opening closed conversations in and through the people of God. And you know what? If people could do that in the natural, how much more can God use people who are empowered by the power of the Holy Spirit to open closed conversations in the spirit realm? I believe tonight that God is calling a people, that God is raising up a generation of people to open closed conversations, to not stay silent, but to prophesy over the dry bones that are in front of us. And so three things that God asked of Ezekiel when he opened a closed conversation, and three things I believe God is asking of us tonight to open closed conversations in our lives. The first thing that God asked of Ezekiel was, Ezekiel, have faith. Can you have faith? He says to Ezekiel, can these bones live? Can these bones live? And Ezekiel, he responds to God and he says, God, only you know whether or not they can live. Now, that's sort of like, if I got that sort of response, I teach Bible college. Shout out to your Bible college. Make sure you sign up for Bible college this year. I teach at our Bible college. And if I got that sort of answer from one of my students, if I was like, so, you know, where did the children of Israel end up in this year, 400, you know, BC or whatever? And they said, oh, Layla, only you know the answer to that question. I'd be like, that is not an answer. Like, you did not answer my question. And Ezekiel, it seems like he sort of does that. He's like, God, you alone know. But Ezekiel's response was a response of faith. Because he could have said, well, God, have you heard what everybody is saying? God, have you heard that people say we're old, dry bones and that our nation is finished and our hope has been cut off? He could say, God, the general consensus is that no, of course these bones can't live. But instead he said, God, what do you say about my dry bones? What do you say about my situation? God, what does your word want to speak into this situation? He had faith to say, God, I want to listen to your voice and I want to speak your words over my situation. He asked him to have faith. He asked him to have faith. I don't know if you've heard of a guy called Charles Blondin, but on September the 14th, 1860, he became the first person to cross a tightrope that stretched 11,000 feet across the mighty Niagara Falls, right? And so Charles Blondin, so the story goes, he crossed, you know, those Niagara Falls on this tightrope with no sort of harness or anything like that. And he crosses them once and then he goes across blindfolded. And he goes across blindfolded and he's sort of showing off by now. He's like, look at me crossing this tightrope on Niagara Falls. And then he gets himself a blindfold and he gets himself a wheelbarrow and he crosses Niagara Falls with the wheelbarrow and he's got a bit of a crowd that's gathered to watch this incredible feat. And people are cheering for him and they're like, Charles, go Charles, you're amazing, Charles, 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 Charles. You know, they're really excited about what he's doing. And he pushes the wheelbarrow to the other side. And when he gets to the other side, he calls out to the crowd and he says, who believes that I can cross this tightrope carrying this wheelbarrow and get to the other side? And everyone's like, of course you can, you're awesome. We've seen you do it before, you can do it again. And he says, okay, who would like to jump in my wheelbarrow? And much the same response sort of went out across the crowd. Not one person that day jumped in Charles Blondin's wheelbarrow. See, they believed that he could do it in theory, but not one person was willing to put faith and willing to put action to their words. Do you know what I believe, Nations Church? Jesus is looking for a people in Nations Church that would rise up, who wouldn't just speak, who wouldn't just say we believe it, but who would be willing to put action to our words, to say, Jesus, I am jumping in the wheelbarrow with you. Take me wherever you want to take me. I am going wherever you are going. The Bible says in James that faith without deeds is dead. God said to Ezekiel, Ezekiel, do you have faith? And Ezekiel had faith. The second thing that God says to Ezekiel is to speak the word of God, to prophesy over his situation. God wants us to prophesy the word of God over our dry bones. He wants us to speak the word of God into these closed conversations. I don't know what the closed conversations are that you're facing right now, but I would encourage you, church, to start speaking the word of God and declaring the word of God over those closed conversations. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 21 says, "Life and death are in the power of the tongue." James chapter 3 teaches us about the power of the tongue when we speak, and when we speak life and when we speak death. I heard this story from a pastor called Pastor Tark Barner. I don't know if any of you know him. He's from New Zealand, so if he made it up, you can just, I don't know, go and attack him in New Zealand. Don't blame me. But this is a story that I heard from him, and he said there was an island where a special people group, a special culture, had sort of this tribal ritual where they would exchange cows for wives, all right? So families would exchange cows for wives, and, you know, if you're a particularly attractive woman and you were, you know, being sent to a particular family, that family would have to give a certain number of cows based on the attractiveness of the woman, all right? So some women were two cow women, and other women, if they were like really beautiful and really attractive, they were five cow women. And so there was this one lady who was probably seen as, you know, a bit of an average sort of lady, and so she was probably seen as maybe a two cow woman. And this astute businessman who was on the island, he came and he offered the family 10 cows for this woman. He offered them 10 cows, and everyone was like, this guy's out of his mind. Why is he giving 10 cows for a two-cow woman? They couldn't understand why he would do that. They're like, this guy is crazy. And he gives a family 10 cows, and as he is walking off with his new bride, and he's talking to her every day, he says, do you know what? You are my 10-cow woman. You are my 10-cow woman. And as the story goes, she became the most attractive, the most beautiful woman on that island because she believed that she was a 10-cow woman. There's power in your words. There's power in the words that we speak. So if you're with your spouse or your significant other, why don't you turn to them and tell them that they're a 10-cow woman today? They are a 10-cow woman. I hope you don't get slapped. You are a 10-cow woman. But our words carry transformational power. Our words carry transformational power. When we speak the word of God, you know, I have some beautiful people in our church who are sort of from our older generation, and I have some plants in my office, and they'll come in every day and they'll help to water my plants. They'll speak to my plants, and they tell me my plants are doing so well because they're speaking to them. And I'm like, you're crazy, okay? You're crazy. But they believe that there's transformational power. How much more is there transformational power when we speak by the power and the authority of the word of God over our circumstances, over our situations, and we let the word of God come and transform our situations. The third and final thing, maybe if our worship team could join us. The third and final thing that God spoke to Ezekiel and told him to do, or that God did through him, was he carried him by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit took him to the valley of dry bones. And then as the Holy Spirit empowers him, God says, hey, Ezekiel, call upon the wind to come and prophesy and come and speak life into these dry bones. Do you know what, church? I believe that it is by the Holy Spirit that our eyes are opened to those closed conversations, to those valleys of dry bones. I believe that God has called each one of us to be a minister for Christ right where we are, to speak into the dry bones, to see life come into them. But it's by the Holy Spirit that our eyes will be opened. It's by the Holy Spirit that we will be led. And it's also by the Holy Spirit that we will have the power to bring the life and the hope and the transformational power of Jesus Christ. It's by the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus says in Luke chapter 4 and verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, that the blind will see and that the oppressed will be set free. Jesus, by the anointing of the power of the Holy Spirit, went and opened closed conversations over people's lives everywhere that he went. And us, anointed by the power of the Holy Spirit, sent out into a world that is lost and without hope, are called to go under the anointing of the Holy Spirit and see God transform hearts and lives right where we are. You know, I'm so glad that some people in my life, when I was 5 years old, believed that God could open a closed conversation over my family. I was born into a Muslim family. My dad is Iranian and grew up in Iran, and he grew up Muslim, and my mum grew up Catholic in Ireland, and they met in England, and mum had to convert to Islam to marry my dad. And so I was born into a Muslim family, and when I was young, I was in New Zealand, and I was about 5 years old, and I went to kindergarten and school, and we had a group of people from a church exactly like this who saw us as a family, and they saw that we were Muslims, and they saw that we were sort of just far from God, and there was stuff going on in our lives. And some of the parents of my friends at kindergarten had a connect group that met in their home, and they started praying for my family to be saved. And just at their connect group, they would start praying. And oh, this is why I love the power of the local church. When we do things that we always do, it can change and transform people's lives. But they started praying for my family, and they said, God, we know that they're a Muslim family, and we know that they're having problems, but God, we believe that you can open this closed conversation. We see them healed, we see them saved, we see them set free, we see them transformed. And they would pray every week at their connect group, and they would pray for my family. Another one of the ladies from the church lived just down the road from us. She was one of our neighbours, and so she would always, you know, reach out to my mum. My mum thought she was a little bit crazy. You know, she was a Pentecostal lady, and so that's sort of a self-explanatory, right? I'm crazy. I'll own it, you know. But this lady would always reach out to my mum and offer to pray for her and offer to pray for us. And one day my auntie came to live with us from Iran. And she came and lived with us in New Zealand, and we didn't know at the time, but she was schizophrenic. And so my mum had three of us kids, three and two, in the house, and this crazy lady who would be threatening to kill my dad and just flipping out and doing the weirdest things. And my mum just lost it one day, and she said to my dad, hey, I can't live here anymore. I can't deal with this anymore. We've got to remove this lady from our house. I'm not comfortable with her. And my dad, you know, being from that Iranian culture, he's like, what can I do? I can't kick her out on the streets. Like, what do you expect me to do? And so mum ended up taking my brother and my sister and I, and we went and we lived in a women's and children's shelter. We had no family in New Zealand. You know, all mum's family was over in Ireland, and so no support, and mum's life was really falling apart, and she was really broken. And the lady who lived down the road from us, she reached out to my mum, and she said, you know what, I know that you're in this just position of brokenness right now. I know that you think all of your hope is lost, but I believe in a God who loves you, who cares about you, who has a plan for you. And I believe that if you would just give your life to Him, that you would never, ever regret it, that your life would never be the same again. And so Mum, with tears streaming down her face in this lady's living room, she gave her life to Jesus, and she gets radically saved, ends up getting baptized in this lady's bathtub. It's a bit radical, you know, it's a bit crazy. We don't suggest that you should do that. Get baptized at Nations Church. But she got baptized in this lady's bathtub, and she ended up, you know, being radically saved, moving back in with my dad. My dad decided, hey, I might start going along to church just to, you know, appease the family. And he'd heard of Abraham, he'd heard of Moses, he'd heard about Jesus. He thought that Jesus was a prophet. So he's like, what's the difference? I'll just go along for an hour on Sunday and be a part of it. And so we would sit in services exactly like this. And he would sit in the service and he would hear about Jesus and he would hear about Abraham and he would hear about Moses. But one thing that he had never heard about before was this Holy Spirit that they were talking about. And the pastors and the preachers, they would get on stage and they'd say, hey, you know, the power of the Holy Spirit is in this place to heal the sick and to open blind eyes and to do these miracles. And he's like, Holy Spirit? What is this Holy Spirit? You know, and so one night, my dad's a very sort of intellectual, sort of scientific man. He's a professor of robotic engineering, so he comes from that sort of background. And one night, he was just lying in bed, and he's like, Holy Spirit, if you're real, show me. Right? He's just like very matter of fact. And all of a sudden, from the tip of his head to the soles of his feet, this wind blows, rushes throughout the covers, all over his head and all over his body. And being that sort of scientific man that he is, he's just like, it's a coincidence. Like, can't be real. So he gets up and he checks, you know, all of the curtains, and he checks all of the windows, and he notices that nothing's open, and he's like, nah, that's not real. And so he goes back to bed and he lies down. All of a sudden, the same thing happened again. And this wind just filled from the tip of his head to the soles of his feet. This wind filled the room. And again, he was sort of like, I'm not quite sure about this. And then one more time, he heard this wind. He saw this wind, and it sort of rushed throughout the room, even more violent than before. And he heard this voice that said, I just want to show you that I'm real. I just want to show you that this is real. And so my dad had an encounter with the power of the Holy Spirit that changed his life forever. My Muslim father ended up getting baptized in this beautiful church, excommunicated from the family spiritually and religiously, can never go back into Iran. But he got a radical salvation that happened in his life and transformed his life and transformed my family's life. I've been blessed since the age of 5 years old to grow up in the house of God, to understand the blessing that it is to be planted in the house of the Lord. Because some people at a church exactly like this didn't accept the closed conversation over my family's life. Some people started praying. Some people started believing. Some people started stepping out beyond what was comfortable and sharing the gospel and saying, hey, I believe that God has more for you. Hey, I believe that God has a plan and a purpose for your life. And church tonight, I believe that God wants to stir every one of us up to believe for more for the situations that are around us, those closed conversations that are surrounding us. But before we move any further with the service, could we just all bow our heads and close our eyes for just one moment? I love the local church. I live to serve the local church because, as you can hear through my life story, it's the local church that has changed my life, that has allowed the presence and the power of Jesus to come and change my whole life, my whole future, and my whole eternity. And tonight you might be sitting in this room and you don't know the power and the presence of Jesus in your life. You don't know what it is to have your sins washed away. If you were to be honest tonight, you'd say, if you were to walk out of the doors of this church tonight, if you were to be honest, you would say, hey, Layla, I don't know whether I would go to heaven or I would go to hell. I don't know what it is to have a security in God. I don't know what it is to have my eternity secure and saved in heaven. I don't know what that is, and I don't have that. Or maybe you have. You've once prayed a prayer to invite Jesus into your life, and you've sort of walked away from God, and you want to come back to Him tonight. You feel distant from God tonight. You want to come back. You want to recommit your life to Him tonight. I want to encourage you tonight that the Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. That every single one of us can know what it is to be saved, to be transformed, to be set free, to be on our way to heaven through the beautiful gift, the salvation gift of Jesus Christ. If you're in this room tonight and you'd say, Layla, I want to invite Jesus into my life. I want to know what it is to have my sins washed away. And with every head bowed and every person in prayer, on the count of three, I'm just going to invite you to lift up your hands to Jesus. And we're going to pray a prayer with you to invite Jesus into your life. One, two, three. Awesome, I see that hand. Awesome. Anybody else in this place tonight? Awesome. Anybody else in this place tonight? Awesome, I see that hand over there. Anybody else in this place tonight? You want to give your life to Jesus? Awesome. Nations Church, would you join me in praying with these people who are believing for God to come and set them free and set them up in a new salvation life tonight? If everybody could join me in praying this prayer after me, and if you're praying this prayer for the first time or you're rededicating your heart to God tonight, why don't you pray this prayer from your heart? Dear Lord Jesus, tonight, I thank you for washing away my sins, for dying on a cross to save me from everything that I've ever done wrong and everything that I ever will do wrong. Tonight, I ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit, to help me to live for you all the days of my life. I declare that from this moment on, I am a child of God. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Church, can we celebrate our new brothers and sisters in Christ tonight? That's awesome. Can we stand to our feet? We're going to dismiss the service in a moment. The pastors will take over from me in just a moment. But I would hate to leave this room tonight without giving you the opportunity to respond to what God has stirred up in your heart tonight. You know what, I believe at the start of this year that God is really stirring up dreams, stirring up visions, stirring up people to go beyond where you've been before, to believe God for that pioneer spirit to rise up in this church and in your heart and in your life. And I believe that God is raising up a generation of Ezekiels who will open closed conversations, that this church is going to impact Perth, the nation, and the nations of the world with people who are going to be led by the Spirit of God to open closed conversation.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.